tweet at TodaySOR.
And I'm hearing on the talkback that we have been inundated with emails, particularly, and also texts on 51551 about the topic of landlords and pets and the question as to whether there is discrimination. Haven't had an update yet about the traffic flow on troublesome in-laws. Well, we'll be talking about that in a little over an hour from now with Harry and Anne-Marie. But meanwhile, we're back to politics on an island-wide basis. Over the last 2 months, more nationalists than unionist MPs were elected in Northern Ireland. The Northern Assembly reopened in Stormont. MLAs finally got back to work after over 3 years. And in the remarkable general election here about 10 days ago, Sinn Féin won the popular vote, emerging with 37 seats, putting them potentially on the verge of government in both jurisdictions on this island. But has any of this brought us closer to United Ireland? On the line now, Andre Murphy, columnist with the Anderson's Town News. Also, Jim Wells, unionist MLA in Stormont, elected with the DUP but currently minus the whip. And on the line, John Tonge, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool, who has a new survey out this week on support for a United Ireland. John, let's start with you and that survey. Having listed the recent achievements of nationalist politics on this island, including Sinn Féin, you might have thought support would be higher than 29% for a United Ireland in Northern Ireland.
Yes, I think that's right. I was slightly surprised the figure was only 29%. That does amount to an increase of just over 2% from the 2017 general election study we did. It's actually quite a lot higher than the Northern Ireland Life and Times survey, which put support for United Ireland 2018 at only 19%, and a Queen's University study put it at a mere 21%. Face-to-face interviews, and this was based upon more than 2,000 face-to-face interviews by Social Market Research, they produce a lower figure for United Ireland than do online surveys, and there's strengths and weaknesses with both types of methodology. I think the methodology is important. The results are important as well, because the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland is obliged to call a border poll when he thinks, even when he thinks that there is a potential for a majority within Northern Ireland for United Ireland. I still think we're some way short of that yet. The increase in support for United Ireland is modest. Same way, you know, obviously Sinn Féin have done well in the South in the recent election, but it wasn't necessarily support for United Ireland that produced the outstanding success that Sinn Féin enjoyed in the recent contest.
John, delving a little more deeply into the findings in that survey, I mean, it's quite a big one, 2,000 people, face-to-face interviews. People were asked to define their national identity. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, and they did, and a slightly higher percentage identified as Irish than the British, which reflects the changing demographics in Northern Ireland. 35% Irish, 34% British, I think, was the figure. But in terms of unionist nationalist or neither unionist nor nationalist, the largest single category of identification in ideological terms was 40% saying they were neither unionist nor nationalist. And it's those that at the moment are the barrier to a United Ireland. If Sinn Féin and others campaigning for United Ireland can win them over, then, you know, one day there will be United Ireland. But at the moment, that 40% of the Northern Ireland electorate who say they are neither unionist nor nationalist, they break down 3-1 in favour of the constitutional status quo. So those are the target audience. I mean, unionists will probably stay as unionist unless, you know, they can really see the economic advantages of a United Ireland. So it's the neutrals in ideological terms that need to be won over.
Stay with us if you can, John. Andre Murphy, good morning to you, columnist with the Anderson's Town News. John Hume, the former leader and one of the founders of the SDLP, frequently used to say that Irish unity was a matter of those who wanted it persuading those who don't. And it's looking at this, it's even a question of people who want it persuading those who might or might not want it. Now, would you not have been surprised, or would you not have expected more than, say, 29% of people say they wanted a United Ireland? Hello, Andre? Oh, can you hear me, Andre? Right, let's go to Jim Wells, Unionist MLA. He's in our Dundalk studio. Jim, thanks indeed for joining us. What do you make of these figures? And also, what do you make of the outcome of the election in jurisdiction south of the border? 37 seats for Sinn Féin. Yes.
Well, first of all, Sean, this is the first time I've been on your programme since the election. And could I commiserate with Pat Breen, my friend from Clare, who didn't get re-elected, but congratulate Frank Feehan on his wonderful result in Roscommon. The results confirm...
They're both Fine Gael candidates, Pat Breen, former junior minister.
Yes, I have known Pat very well. I was very sad to see that he didn't make it back in Clare. Delighted that Frank has made his return to the Dáil. Remember this, Sean, that 74% of the people in the Irish public didn't vote for Sinn Féin. I mean, we need to get this in context. The vast majority of people in the Republic don't support them. And secondly, the opinion poll organised by the Irish Times indicated that only 1% of those who voted for Sinn Féin regarded a United Ireland, a reunification, as the primary reason for voting for them. It was dominated by issues like the housing crisis in the Republic, hospital waiting lists, crime, etc. There wasn't a huge surge of support for United Ireland. Now we've had this referendum, or sorry, this opinion poll that shows that only 29% of the people of Northern Ireland would vote for a reunification with the Republic. It reminds me of the Hans, the pretty princess, and all the princes going around and saying they've got her hand in marriage. The problem is that none of them actually consulted the princess. And the one group of people who are not having a conversation about United Ireland are unionists. And indeed, this opinion poll shows that 99% of unionists have no interest whatsoever in the United Ireland.
So, Jim, what would you think of the idea then of having a border poll? Sinn Féin want one in the foreseeable future, in the next 5 years. I mean, is that something that you would be concerned about?
I would, because first of all, it would be...
If you're going to win.
It would be extraordinarily destabilising. I mean, we saw the way that the United Kingdom tore itself to pieces on the referendum on Brexit and all the ramifications of that. If there is no chance, and I believe there's no chance, of a reunification poll succeeding, why plunge Northern Ireland, and indeed the Irish Republic, because remember this has to be done on both sides of the border, why plunge it into uncertainty? The Secretary of State has a very simple test. He can only hold a referendum if there's a likelihood of the status of Northern Ireland changing. And all the evidence, Life and Time opinion polls have shown that 70% of the people of Northern Ireland have no interest in this. Thank you very much, but no thanks.
OK, Andrew Murphy, I think we've got you back on the line. What do you make of that, and what do you make of the opinion poll?
Well, I think, first of all, the opinion poll was interesting because of the question that it asked. It asked, would you vote for a United Ireland tomorrow? And even the most ardent of people who are advocating for a national poll are saying that there shouldn't be a vote tomorrow, that this requires considerable planning. It requires us to do things exactly the opposite way to what England did in terms of its Brexit debate. Make sure that people know exactly what they're voting for, that they're all engaged in the debate so that the economic, social and cultural issues are addressed, and that there is a new vision for a new Ireland formed before it is put to the people, and everyone is very clear about that. So it doesn't surprise me that only 29% of people would vote for a United Ireland in the morning without planning. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, but Jim Wells was saying he's convinced there's no chance of it winning in the foreseeable future. What do you say?
Yeah, well, you know, there's other polls that kind of put the context much more into if there was planning, if there was, that kind of consideration done, would you consider a United Ireland, particularly in the context of Brexit? And then we saw in September that there were other polls that were giving a majority for yes for that. So, you know, there are, but it really does depend on the question that's asked and the context in which people are thinking about it. The big thing that people are thinking about is the impact of Brexit. The majority of people in the North voted against Brexit. They wanted to remain in the EU, and the only possible avenue for them now to come back to the EU is through a United Ireland. And really, the economic and social issues will hold the day rather than those kind of more heart and soul issues.
To come back to you, John Tonge, isn't that a reasonable point? The idea of it happening tomorrow is not realistic, but also it puts people maybe in a no change. They want to be cautious. If in doubt, leave out. So if the question was framed differently, might the response have been much more favourably disposed towards the United Ireland? In other words, should preparations be made for United Ireland over the next 10 to 15 years?
But there were two questions on the survey. There was a second question that asked, what is your long-term constitutional preference for Northern Ireland? And the outcome was virtually identical. It was to within 0.5% of the answers that were given if there was a border poll tomorrow. I mean, I do agree to some extent with Andre on some of the other stuff. I mean, it's fair to say that the Ashcroft poll produced more people in favour of a United Ireland than were against. And that comes back. I don't think it's about asking... asking the right questions, because you can ask several questions. A board poll tomorrow, long-term constitutional preference, and we ask them, we ask both of them. I think it's more about the methodology. Clearly, there are online surveys are producing different results from face-to-face interviews, and we need to decide what is the better methodology. I think, you know, if Republicans want hope on this, I suppose you'd use the example of the Scottish independence referendum, which ultimately was won for the union, but support for independence went up from a third at the beginning of the campaign to nearly 50%, 45% at the end of the campaign. So you can build momentum during a campaign. But I do agree with Jim Wells that it would be a never-endum, because there is, within the terms of the Good Friday Agreement, the Secretary of State could call another referendum on a border poll 7 years after the first. So, you know, I suspect that if there was a border poll within the next 5 years, there would be a vote for the union, but it certainly wouldn't be the end of the matter. The demographics are changing in Northern Ireland, and that may influence, may build greater support for United Ireland.
To come back to you, Jim Wells, and again, thank you for coming to Dundalk to talk to us this morning. Would you be concerned that there might be that kind of gradualism as there was, and we heard John talk about how the figure went from a third to more, nearly a half, in favour of Scottish independence? And also, if Brexit turned out to be a very bad deal for Northern Ireland, time will tell, that then the position might change.
Well, first of all, Sean, everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die on Tuesday. The reality is that many nationalists have this mythical sort of somewhere in the distant future, we want to United Ireland, but not now, thank you very much, because I want to get my children educated, I want to get my business up and running, etc. So the reality is that, yes, people might want United Ireland, but not just immediately. Secondly, it's quite clear that the change that occurred in Scotland will not happen in Northern Ireland, for the simple reason is you will not shift the 99% of unionists who don't want to change. And the difficulty about that is, does anybody feel that a United Ireland, where you've got a million people being dragged into it against their will ever succeed? Secondly, where is the Irish Republic going to get the €2,300 from every man, woman and child to keep Northern Ireland in its present economic situation? That's impossible. The Irish Republic could not afford to do that. And are you saying...
Well, again, you're talking about a situation where you wouldn't have had discussions with both the United Kingdom and the European Union about funding a route or a pathway to United Ireland.
So leave Ireland, but leave your chequebook behind. Is that what you're saying? That the British are going to leave Northern Ireland and abandon a million people who regard themselves as British, but going to leave a very large chequebook to subsidise that to the tune of £12 billion per annum? I think that's highly unlikely. Secondly, the issue of Europe is gradually subsiding. That's now settled. The election, which was held on 12th of December, settled that issue. We're now out of Europe and we're doing the negotiations. And I'm confident in 5 or 10 years' time, we're going to look back on this in the same way we look back on our decision not to join the euro and think, what was all the fuss about? We made the right decision, we're the fifth largest economy in the world, and we've moved forward into international trade and are doing very well. So I have no qualms or fears about Europe. But isn't it amazing, Sean, with all of the publicity and all the enthusiasm about United Ireland and all the predictions by the soothsayers about the impact of Brexit, that they haven't shifted unionism one iota
on
this issue?
And just to come back to you, Andrea Murphy, we had that clarification from John. There was the question in the survey about your long-term view on the constitutional position. Virtually no change from the what would you want tomorrow?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of points, I suppose, I'd want to make. Jim Wells is painting a very monotone block in terms of unionism. There is a very engaged conversation happening in unionism about potential constitutional change. Only on Monday, the former leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Mike Nesbitt, was saying that unionists have to get their heads out of the sand, stop ignoring the constitutional debate and engage in it. And he's someone who's advocating for the union, but he's saying that this debate is happening and there's no two ways about that. We see it in terms of the impact of Brexit, all Ireland trade debates, all of the border debates, even the debates around educational achievement on both sides of the border, how it is so much lower in the north than it is in the south, and how that is affecting any sort of economic growth. So we see that there are considered debates that are happening that really aren't reflected in the poll in terms of 90 plus percent of voters will absolutely vote remain, when we know that there are people within the unionist community who are saying, I am now, for the first time in my life, considering the United Ireland option, if pathways are made to respect my Britishness, to respect the fact that I have a cultural identity that must be placed on this island, but also in the context of Britain, those complex and multi-layered conversations are absolutely happening.
Are you in any way persuaded by that, Jim? Where is a conversation happening that you're not aware of?
Well, what part of 99% does Andre not understand? There's Mike Nesbitt was going a wall there. I mean, both comments, I think, were extremely unhelpful. They do not represent the vast swathe of unionist opinion. And the reality is, any opinion poll that shows that 99% of a community aren't going to change, that means United Ireland can't work because it doesn't have consent of the very important element of our society who regard themselves as British.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to all three of you, to Andre Murphy, columnist with the Andersonstown News, Jim Wells, unionist MLA, and also my thanks to John Tonge, British and Irish politics professor at the University of Liverpool.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.